Episode 20 coming at you guys from Thread Talk in downtown Toronto in our homemade studio. Teresa, you ready to roll?
I'm scared.
Oh, come on.
That was interesting.
Do you guys like my funky intros? Let us know if I should just go back to being normal.
I think you should be brutally honest in the comments, please.
Should I let Teresa take over?
Yeah, I think some people listen to this early in the morning.
I'm waking them up.
Yeah, but not in a good way.
No, that's a great way. We try to rotate. Teresa's like, you do it. So I'm like, here we go. Let's get into it.
I think I should just take the reign.
Well, we'll find out. You guys let us know if you like my intros or Teresa's. Hi, everyone.
Welcome. I don't sound like that. I sound like, hey, everyone.
Wow. Can you believe we're at 20 episodes already?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. Time has been flying by.
It has been, but it also hasn't been. It's like we're like 4 months now.
We're in April.
Yeah.
We started in December. December 18th was our first episode.
Yeah. So we are just about to hit 4 months. April 14th today.
That is wild. What are we at? 37,000 on Instagram, 27,000 on TikTok.
No, almost 30.
Whoa.
On TikTok.
We're almost at 8,000 on YouTube. We are hoping to get to 10,000 on YouTube by the end of April. And it's not looking that good. So if you guys could do us a favor and please head over to YouTube, subscribe.
YouTube is what helps us the most.
Yes.
We have like a few followers on Instagram and TikTok, but those don't pay us.
No.
And we live in Canada, yeah, so we don't have the creator fund or anything like that.
No. So if you guys want to help us out, support us, encourage us to keep going, subscribe on YouTube, get notifications, watch on YouTube, listen on YouTube, and smash the like buttons, please and thank you.
We'll maybe make another cat hammock for Jack or something.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out
money.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out a way to get both of them in here. We got Luna. Luna's a solid coworker for the new studio. Jack, yeah,
because she's like, Luna doesn't like to be touched or pet very often, mm-hmm, only on her own terms. Typical cat, right? But she loves like laying on these like arches, and we have like a lot of cat hammocks around the house on the windows and stuff.
Loves them.
And we see her laying in the spot all the time, even when we're not filming. So we just put her here and she stays like a little angel.
Stays for the whole thing. And then everybody on TikTok loves it. I always like crop her in, zoom in and stuff. And everybody's always commenting about Luna.
Yeah, but some people think that she's like not alive. She's stuffed. I'm like, she's just sleeping.
She moves. Sorry for the 60-second video you watched on TikTok. She didn't move for that 60 seconds. But over our two-hour episode, she moves.
She moves and she's alive and well. We're not doing anything to her. We're not forcing her to be here. Don't worry.
Yeah, when we were at the couch, she would never be anywhere because there wasn't a hammock perch for her.
Yeah.
But Jack would always lie on the couch beside Teresa with the blanket. And he hasn't been that present since we moved to the studio.
Yeah, because there's nowhere for him.
Yeah, we have this little table here and we tried putting the blanket that he likes there, and he stayed there for like at most like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he doesn't love it.
Yeah, so this time we are not catering to Jack, but we are catering to a new sponsor for the podcast. So a big shout out to Cottage Springs Beverages. Thank you guys so much. They sent us a nice care bundle here, and I have been sampling a few of them. Right now we're going to be trying the vodka lemonade strawberry
flavor.
I'm excited.
Ooh.
If you guys have been following along, you know that I like to have a drink or two as we're filming some of these late evening afternoon episodes. I mean, currently though, it is 1:14 on a Sunday.
Like late evening,
bro. On a Sunday. And we're starting early. You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And I wanted to try them out. The ones that I've had so far are delicious. And I'm very excited for the lemonade one. So once again, thank you to Cottage Springs. If you guys are looking for something to drink on the weekend and you're in that seltzer aisle, try Cottage Springs because I have been loving them so far.
Yeah. And Denver is very picky with alcohol.
I'm very picky.
So this says a lot.
Oh, that strawberry is nuts. Nice.
Yeah. Okay, I'll try it.
Okay, try it.
I don't really drink alcohol. I'll have a sip here and there. Ooh. Ooh, that's really yummy.
Yeah.
It tastes like juice.
They're very good. I'm very, very happy right now.
What
so thank you to Cottage
that?
Springs. This one's 5%.
Nice.
Some of them are 6 or 7% or something like that. But
that's really good.
It's been very tasty. One thing I just thought of, So we, like, when we film the episodes, like, they don't go live right away. It takes a week or two from the times that you guys hear them from when we're filming them. But
like
we're
a week and a half.
Yeah, we're filming them right now. And episode 18. No, 17. 17 is live right now. 17 is live right now. And the downloads on, like, Spotify and Apple Podcasts, it is incredible. It is in the first 7 days, like, we've been seeing, like, a small, you know, it's, you know, rising each week. This one is double what we were doing last week. It is the biggest jump that we have seen. So we are snowball skyrocketing right now, and we're just enjoying looking over the analytics. I feel like we've talked enough about the analytics and everything. Yes, it's time to get into a story.
But thank you guys so much. This is all thanks to you.
That is the main thing. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We just want to thank you because, yeah, it's like really awesome to see that, like, this week's episode, like, literally doubled, or sorry, like, three episodes ago doubled. So every week it just, like, motivates us to do more and more episodes, and we may be coming out with some more frequent episodes.
Yeah, I'm thinking of maybe going to two a week, possibly. We're not making any commitment,
no promises,
but we did come out with a Friday one earlier. I think we're gonna try to film another one maybe, like, a couple a month. No set schedule, but keep an eye out for Fridays because there might be an extra spicy episode in there. And that's why you should subscribe and follow us so that you get the first notifications right away.
Yes, exactly.
Also, if you're a YouTube member, it's 99 cents and you get free early access to all the episodes. We usually get them done, edited, and uploaded like 2 to 3 days before their actual set schedule date. So if you want early access to all of that stuff, 99 cents, that's all it is. Please help support us and keep us going.
Yes, so just to clarify, every episode, like, normally comes out on Tuesdays, and that will still be consistent every week.
Yes,
we will have an episode come out every Tuesday, but we may be adding some extras in there on Fridays.
Exactly.
We'll see.
And at the end of this episode, we're going to try, if we remember this time, to talk a little bit about our life because we had some exciting activity that we did yesterday. So we'd love to give you an update on that. But we're going to get into our stories. And what's the theme today?
Today's sweet, sweet revenge.
Oh, I love revenge stories. So we're getting a couple of these epic stories. And at the end, stay tuned at the end, and we'll go over what's recently happening with Denver and Teresa.
Let's do it.
All right. Who's going first?
I can do it.
All right, let's go.
All right. This one comes from Nuclear Revenge.
Nuclear Revenge.
Nuclear Revenge.
There's a subreddit called Nuclear Revenge. I didn't know about this.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have all the best stories.
This is my only story from it, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see you.
Threaded my friend with revenge porn. I'll ruin your whole damn life. Ooh. My very good friend made some slightly dumb mistakes and sent some pictures to someone that she reasonably thought she could trust, but not knowing much more than his first name, his screen name, and roughly where he lived and the type of work he did. He is not in our country, but had indicated that he would be traveling for work to near us shortly, and they had made plans to meet. And when she got some red flags and backed out, the dude threatened to publish these pictures online. I am, incidentally, an attorney. So, some searching later and gathering up any pictures he sent her of him that could possibly identify him, his online handle, led me to a TikTok page, which led me to an Instagram page with his name on it. That led to a LinkedIn page with his place of work that matched a picture of he sent with a branded polo he was wearing. Some more searches got me to the email of the CEO, VP of HR, operations manager, and public relations manager. I just fired off an email on behalf of my client of the screenshots of him threatening revenge porn, snippets of the conversations showing the username while he sent that exact picture of him wearing his company's branded apparel, links to how I know it's him, along with pictures he sent her of his motorcycle with the license plate showing as further proof it's him. I also included screenshots of him discussing a workplace incident that were timestamped, along with pieces of dialogue discussing how he had sex with an ex at his workplace, and discussing plans to have sex with her in the office as well. I also included a picture he sent her showing his work laptop with his entire Outlook calendar, along with proprietary information which he sent to prove he was busy, along with other pictures he took of his workplace with non-consenting employees. I further informed his employer that I will be forwarding all this information to local law enforcement And since he had indicated that he would be traveling to the United States soon, we'll also forward this to the local office of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, as since my client is a U.S. citizen on U.S. soil, these threats constituted a federal crime. So that should they continue with his employment and continue with their plans to send him to the United States for work, I will ensure, on behalf of my client, the federal law enforcement is waiting for him on arrival, which I will do as one of the assistants U.S. attorneys for this region is a law school buddy of mine. Since I have his license plate number, I know where he lives and will be contacting his local authorities tomorrow. You dumb motherfucker, thinking we're hiding around anonymity, thinking you could threaten my friend, it took me 45 minutes to destroy your life.
Oh my God, that is nuclear. Holy shit, that person just like so much trouble. It's like, oh my God.
Guys, well deserved.
Well deserved. Don't do dumb shit when you're on the internet. I found his TikTok, and then I found his Instagram, and that led me to his LinkedIn, and then I found all of his fucking bosses. Dude's fucked. Dude's gonna get fired. Oh my God. The company's like, we don't want anything to do with you, buddy.
Yep. It's not doing dumb shit on the internet. It's being sleazy.
Oh my gosh.
You're being trash, actually.
Yeah. Who, threatening. Like, bro, you got privileged information, and then, you know, just because things didn't work out, you're gonna threaten to post that on the internet.
Yeah. That's like scum of scum. Like, the scummiest thing you could do.
Yeah, absolutely. Buddy, like, you're privileged to view that. Take it. It's a win. Cool. Didn't work out. Move on. Like, yeah. You don't post that stuff online.
Yeah.
Ever.
Never use it against anybody.
That's why you need to be, like, cautious of, like, sending that stuff.
It is true, but...
And make sure it's the right person. Yeah. Stuff can happen. Like... When somebody asks you for that stuff, don't just easily send it to them. Like, take a moment to think about it and think, you know, worst case situation, do I know this person well enough that I know that they're not going to fuck me over?
Mm-hmm.
Because that shit usually gets released, and it's very sad.
Yeah, it is. I would just advise to be cautious when you're online dating and stuff like that, obviously. I've been in a relationship since I was 18, so I don't really have any any kind of experience with this kind of stuff. But I would imagine if I were still dating, in the age of social media and, I don't know, a lot of scammers, weird kind of, what's it called? Catfishes out there.
Yep, just be cautious.
Yeah, just be cautious. I know as women, like, we shouldn't have to worry about this stuff, but... It happens.
Well, guys, too.
That's true.
You know, we're uglier, but, you know, it's still, you know, we might send some nudes, you know.
What do you mean you're uglier?
Women are beautiful in every sense. Look, the dick pics are not appealing. You got to get the full body, like, stretching guy shot to make it look appealing. Like, you know, show the abs and, you know, muscles. That's what looks so appealing. But boobs, in any sense, are just nice to look at.
Mm.
And I would even add on to this, like, if you, because, like, social media is so much nowadays, like, if you're a parent and you have a kid, or if you're a kid and you're under 18, like, don't send that stuff at all.
Yeah.
I never thought about it. And when I was in high school, I was like, oh, yeah, send me that. I want to see it. Let's get into it. Whatever. Turns out that's child pornography. Even if you are the child yourself,
yeah,
you can still be charged with child pornography. If, like, say you are seeing some girl and you guys are both like 15 and she sends you a pic, even if it was unsolicited or you asked for it or not, and then her parents find out and they hate you, you now have that on your phone and it's considered that child pornography, and you can get, like, charged with it.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's on your phone.
That makes sense.
So even though you guys are like 14, 13, 15, you guys are both the same age.
13? Who's doing that at 13?
Well, I mean, that's like grade 9, so I can see that. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are sending it to each other and you're both underage. You are both going to be, could be held liable for that stuff. So if you're a parent and you have those kids, you know, tell your kids, you got to teach them those lessons. Because I read a story that the parents were not happy with the boyfriend at all. Mm-hmm. And he got charged and he was like 14.
Yeah.
And he's like, she sent it to me willingly. Like, it's not, that's not what this is, but that is technicality classification, I think. So I'll be very cautious with all that stuff. Trust.
Yeah.
Have the trust.
Yeah. When you're that age, though, you don't really know any better.
No, when you're a kid, you don't. Yeah. I mean, in the adult, you got to have the trust. When you're a kid, you're just like getting anything that you can get. It's exciting. But, you know, nobody ever tells you that part. Your parents give you the sex talk, but they don't give you the new social media age of sex talk.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be cautious about. And Snapchats can be screenshotted, okay?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the safety.
Listen up. I don't think any kids are listening.
But no, this one's more for like the parents, adults, the teaching, adults that have the kids. And your kid, it's around that age.
Yeah. Also for adults, just be cautious.
You never know what will happen.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to like swipe on Tinder with a new person now and they're going to be like, fuck, I listened to that story. Like, he wants me to send a pic. I don't want to send a pic.
Yeah.
Just crop your head out of it.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You could do that.
Yeah.
All right. There's an update.
Oh, shit.
Barely 12 hours later.
Oh, my God. I was not expecting an update.
Before I get into the update, though, I want to clarify a few things from my original post, primarily about the contact to the employer and why. Some questioned its truthfulness. While the entire story is true, some details were omitted for various reasons. There was more she/I had in our possession that I did positively identify this individual. So, would a lawyer contact his employer, like some stated would not be done? Depends. I did not do what I did on behalf of a client who retained me. I did it as a friend to help a friend. And as her friend, who was also a labor and employment lawyer attorney, I knew exactly how to squeeze this. And here's the thing. I was absolutely aware from the onset that the revenge porn threat would go nowhere with his employer. Even if I could clearly lay out how the person with this screen name was in fact this person who works at this company, all we had are screenshots. If it was just the revenge porn threat, any employer would go, well, thank you for bringing this to our attention, but even if we accept our employee uses this screen name and we neither confirm nor deny anyone of that name works here, we have no provenance on this. This is just an alleged screenshot of an alleged conversation that could just easily be edited and manipulated. Please feel free to pursue this with local authorities and rest assured, should we be asked to, we will comply. We will cooperate fully with any law enforcement inquiry, but we have no further comment at this time. And I know that's what they would say because that's exactly what I would say. An alleged screenshot of an alleged conversation that was allegedly sent under an alleged username that is allegedly one of our employees? Whatever, dude. Call the cops if you're worried about it. We'll answer them honestly if they come to us. Oh my God, drink every time they say alleged.
Literally. Lawyer talk.
This issue wasn't the revenge porn threat. It was a picture of the contents of the work laptop. Because that can't be faked. There's no way for her or me to create a false image of the actual proprietary information on his work computer unless he sent it. There is no way for me or her to have possession of images taken of his coworkers without their consent unless he sent them. The proof here wasn't that this person broke the law. It's that he sent pictures of company employees and property, which would absolutely be verifiable by their IT department, that yes, this is absolutely his laptop. That's what would get him fired. So I advised my friend not to block him, to sit back and wait and not respond to anything, but let him dig himself in a deeper hole. And respond he did.
Fuck yeah.
Update. He's been fired.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So with now definitive proof that the individual in the online conversation is in fact this person, we'll forward it to the local authorities in his country, along with his license plate number. They're more than capable of getting his home address.
Bro, you know, I keep thinking his home country is probably Canada.
You think? Probably.
Like I'm coming to work, down to the States.
Yeah.
Like it's probably Canada. Probably. Like they're right by, like, you know, like if you're like swiping, like what's the chance you're going to swipe from somebody from Europe or something that? Like it's probably somebody like New York and Toronto or something like that. Like it's like close by, like on the border-ish.
Yeah. People have to travel to the States a lot.
Right. Here. Like that's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. We don't claim you.
Oh, karma, sweet, sweet revenge.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. She's like going full tilt.
I know. And shit needs to be done. Like if people just sit back and let people do this stuff, threaten them with these kinds of pictures and stuff. Like
100%.
It won't ever get stopped. And people, he'll just keep doing it again. I'm sure he learned his lesson.
He fucking better have.
Yeah.
Not only do people need to do this to put a stop to it, people need people like us to bring awareness to this.
Facts.
So that they hear this story and they're like, well, I'm not fucking doing that because I'm going to get fucked.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not,
bring awareness that like people will research you and they will fuck you up when you're an asshole and you deserve it.
If you fuck with the wrong ones, fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out. Exactly. We are doing a public service by bringing awareness to the situation.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Top comment. I can't believe people didn't understand the proof you sent to the company. As soon as I saw that he sent pics of the company property and employees, I knew he was fired. OP replies, I admit I was a little confused by the whole, no lawyer would ever do that. Seriously? You hurt a friend and hand me a way to fuck with you? And you think I won't press that button as hard as I can? What is it you people think we do?
Yeah. No, like, if you, like, this is also like almost another reason of like, if you're into this stuff, like go look for a lawyer if you have it and you can afford it and pay for them, because lawyers fuck shit up. They know how, they know how to fuck shit up on people. So don't mess around.
This is true.
You'll find out.
Yep. That's all.
All right. So let's move along.
Yeah.
I have to sneeze.
Close you. Ow. Got on me.
Sorry. That's your karma for saying bless you too soon.
I said it as you sneezed.
You're not supposed to. You'll say it after.
No.
Rude. I don't like it. Okay, let's move on. Mine is coming from Petty Revenge. Messing with the homophobic / racist guy my grandma married after he kept asking me, a teenage girl, if I had a boyfriend. Backstory. When I was about 12, my grandma divorced my grandpa and got remarried to this guy I'll call Bill. Bill was in his late 60s, from East Texas, and as religious as they come. From what I had heard from others about things that he had said over the years, I was pretty sure he was homophobic and racist. Thankfully, I didn't see much of him since they lived several hours away, but on certain big holidays, mostly Christmas, we'd all pack up and go stay with them for a few days to celebrate. Being a 12-year-old girl at this time, Bill made me uncomfortable. Mostly because every time I saw him, the first questions out of his mouth was inevitably, do you have a boyfriend yet? Is there a boy you like? Etc. Sometimes he would ask multiple times during the same trip. Every single time, I absolutely hated it. I would just answer back and say no, or I would go hide out in the spare bedroom so he couldn't talk to me. On to the petty revenge. A few years later, when I was 17, my mom told me Grandma and Bill were coming to town for Christmas that year, since my sister was heavily pregnant and her due date was just a few days after Christmas. There was no way we were traveling and risking her going into labor so far from home. I must have made some kind of face because my mom asked what was wrong, and since I had never told her, I explained how Bill creeped me the fuck out. And Bill was always asking me about my boyfriends and stuff. I popped off and said something to the effect of, I swear, the next time he asks me that, I'm going to tell him that I have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. My mom, being a shit starter, was like, do it, do it.
Do it, do it.
So we made a plan. I was straight back then, but I had a lot of LGBT plus friends in high school, and one of my best friends, Mindy, was bi. We would use her name to make it sound natural and easy to remember all day instead of a fake name. I asked Mindy ahead of time if this was okay, and she was all for it, but she just wanted to know the tea afterwards. And if anyone else in my family, who wasn't in on it, asked me about Mindy, it would just add more credence to my lie when I talked about her or brought her up in conversation. The boyfriend was going to be all fake because I had a plan about him. Anyway, me and my mom were standing in the kitchen and Bill is sitting alone at the dining room table nearby. My mom, again, big shit starter, doesn't even wait for Bill to ask this time. I think she just wanted to watch and didn't want a chance missing it if Bill asked when she wasn't around. Here's a reenactment of our short conversation. My mom. So, how's Mindy doing? I was so sad when she said she couldn't come. Me. Yeah, I know. But she had family visitings as well and couldn't get the time away. I turned and I locked eyes with Bill. And since he was listening to our conversation, I felt obligated to explain. Mindy is my girlfriend. The look of shock and dismay on his face was so satisfying. He said something to the effect of, "Are you serious?" And at that point, I was on. "Oh yeah, Mindy is my girlfriend. She's super nice and very pretty, and I'm sure you'll like her. Oh, we also have a boyfriend. His name is," insert historically Hispanic name here. I think it was Julio. "But I mean, there is no way he could come. He's still in prison right now." I can just see his eyes getting bigger and bigger with everything I said, and I'm having so much fun with it at this point. "I mean, they say he's in a gang and that he killed this guy, but I know he totally didn't do it. Julio is so sweet and I love him so much. He treat Mindy and I so well. There is no way he could have done it." My mom chimes in, "That's right, honey. He'll be out soon and the three of you will be together again. Hopefully the wedding won't have to be pushed back again." The best thing was that he couldn't even call me out on my lies because my mom was right there agreeing with every word I said. In the span of about 3 minutes, I had this man believing that not only was I gay and dating a woman, but I was also dating an Hispanic guy who was in a gang and in prison for murder. Oh, and that we were all thinking of marriage. He did not talk to me for the rest of the holiday.
Oh my God.
I did notice him giving me some strange looks, but I didn't care. As far as I was concerned, mission accomplished. The aftermath. I had to ask my mom about this part because I didn't even remember. I forgot about Bill as soon as they left. She told me that Grandma confronted her. "Why did you tell him that kind of stuff?" Well, my mom explained why and that it wasn't his business, but Grandma thought what I did was worse and that he had done just small talking and wanting to get to know me. In the end, I don't ever think I saw Bill after that. Grandma left him a few years later and that was that. I like to think he didn't believe my grandma when she told him that it was all lies, and he's still in East Texas thinking about the crazy granddaughter of the woman that he was married to.
That was so good. Yeah. Oh my God.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. That's
good little revenge.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good story, but it's sad to think that, like, even though, like, it wasn't true, like, this is reality for some people.
Yeah,
they are true. Bisexual or they're gay, lesbian, and they have to come out and
deal with family members like
that. Deal with family members like that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or racist issues like that as well.
Yeah.
But, hopefully he'll never ask again if she has a boyfriend.
Hopefully not.
And who asks a 12-year-old that? That's fucking weird.
It's like it's weird, but it's like the...
Every time
is weird. Once is not weird. I would say like once is not weird. Like you're like asking about them. If that's like
the only thing you're bringing up.
If it's the only thing, it's a little weird.
Like
if it's one thing of a couple things of like, oh, like how's school, you know, any, you know, dating anyone, it's like kind of like small talk, I would say, but like focusing in on that, a little weird.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. At 12 years old, that's so young. Come on.
That's a grade 8.
Yeah.
That's not that young for like that kind of stuff.
I think it's weird.
I had girlfriends in grade 8.
Yeah, but I think it's weird for an adult to be asking a child that.
I feel like it all depends on the context. Obviously, he did enough that it made her feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, she was visibly uncomfortable. And to stand up for yourself at that age, like, it's hard.
No, you can't.
Yeah. So, I think this is the best petty revenge. And I love that the mom was in on it, too.
Yeah.
I love that role play that they did.
Yeah. This one's not the top comment. Mm-hmm. But this was my favorite comment on it. Plot twist. Bill met Frank and they lived together in bliss after the zombie apocalypse. Frank then got cancer. So they took one last romantic dinner together, drank some poison wine, and slipped peacefully into the unending slumber in each other's arms.
Oh my God.
It's from The Last of Us. It's a scene from a TV show.
Okay.
The Last of Us, which was top OP replies to this person and says, "Why would you do this to me? That episode was so fucking heartbreaking." Anybody's watched The Last of Us, let us know. I can't wait for season 2. I watched it without Teresa. It's a zombie.
Yeah, but I heard one. It was really good. I was mad
it
that you...
was. It was yeah. really fucking good.
I would have watched it.
I'll watch it again.
I like to be in the know of like pop culture things that are trending.
So, well, it was a show that was made off of a video game. That's why, and it was about zombies. So all of those boxes says Teresa's not going to like it. So yeah, I watched those shows FOMO by myself. Now you just have FOMO because there's cult references to it.
No, culture not only references in here.
Yeah, yeah. And it's big outside of here too.
Yeah.
And that's why you have FOMO. Thinking back, even though it's about zombies, I think you would like it.
Because
the story isn't about the zombies. Like there's like The Walking Dead, and that's like all zombies. Like there's nothing about zombies. This is like The Last of Us, and it's more about them trying to survive, him trying to find his brother, and her being like the cure. Like she can be bit.
I think I would love that.
And she doesn't turn.
So it's like Vampire Diaries.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I guess.
Like Elena being the, what was it called?
Doppelganger?
No, she was the cure, remember?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Wasn't she?
She was a doppelganger.
But she was the cure near the end of the season. She was the, there was a cure word for what? It.
She was never a cure.
Okay, no, I'm messing things up. So, wait, am I losing my mind?
Like, there was a cure, but it wasn't her. It was in her blood.
Her blood?
Yeah, but she's not special. She just got, it wasn't her blood. It was because she got the thing. She got the cure. She wasn't the cure. She got a cure.
Oh.
And then it was in her blood. And then if somebody drank her blood, then they're cured.
Yes. I knew I wasn't going crazy. Yes. No, you, she drank the cure. Wrong. And then she ended up being the cure.
Her blood was the cure.
Yes. Same thing.
But no, this chick is like immune.
Okay, sorry.
Her mom.
Off topic.
Her mom was bit at birth, and then she was birthed.
Okay.
Her mom was bit when, like, right before she gave birth.
Don't ruin it for me. I want to watch it.
Well, I'm not ruining it. They tell you that right in the first beginning and stuff. It's like anybody who was going to watch the show, they basically played the game and they knew what it was based off of.
Okay.
We should play the game together.
But you want to watch it with me?
I'll watch it again.
Yeah?
It was really good. Yeah, it was really good. It's got the good actor. It's got, what's his name in it? The Pascal Papal. I don't know. The guy. He's in The Mandarin. He's in, like, everything. He was in the show, the Mexican cartel show that we watched with, what was that guy's name? The main guy. Drug cartel guy.
Yeah, I know. I know who you're talking about.
Pablo
Escobar.
Pablo Escobar, my bad. Yeah.
Denver's a little bit dyslexic, guys.
That's not nice.
No, it's true, though.
Yeah, apparently I got ADHD today, too.
No, okay, sorry. I know we're getting way off topic, but we got so many comments on one of the videos that went pretty viral. Oh, it was the last update on the Bachelorette story.
Yeah, what happened?
You kept saying Pacific instead of specific.
I will admit that I have always had a challenge with specific. And I seem to drop the S and I go Pacific. And I have always had it. And every time I see that word when I'm reading a story, I'm like, fuck my life. Here it is again. I need to make sure I say it properly this time. Oh.
Yeah, some people called you out.
Usually you call me out and then I can edit it and it sounds nice.
I didn't hear
That's your fault. You led me into a trap. This is funny too because like I don't ever read any of those comments anymore. I just can't. There's just too many of them.
I see a lot of them.
I only read the comments on like the full YouTube video episodes. On like the TikToks and the Instagram, the shorts, it's too much for me. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
But Teresa stares at her phone. That's all she looks at. But like we're getting to the point where we're, every time we read some, we refresh. There's 100 more.
Yeah.
Like, we literally get thousands of comments per day. I can't
read all
of
them.
Now.
I'm not saying I read all of them.
Yeah. You just read the ones when they're shit-talking me.
Yeah.
You have a filter on, and it's like the shit-talking Denver filter, and then you read those ones.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm doing.
All right. Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right. Am I the asshole for deleting my son's YouTube account with more than 20,000 subscribers for skipping school?
Oh my God. This hurts. This hits home.
Yeah,
I know. Because I know how hard it is to get to 20,000 YouTube subscribers. I have been doing YouTube for a very long time. Like, we started this podcast in December, but I've been doing YouTube since like 2018 or something. Like, I started the product review channel when we lived in Regent Park.
Yeah.
And that was like my start YouTube channel. Grinding with BMW when I was selling BMWs to build up that YouTube channel. And now I have 5 monetized channels that we make a little bit of income from. I don't have 20,000 subscribers on any of them.
Combined. No, combined.
No, I, yeah. Yeah. Combined, we do. But on either one of them, like, I'm at, like, 19,800 on one of them. I'm, like, so close.
Oh, okay.
But I'm really close. So, like, deleting that, oh, that could potentially be deleting thousands of dollars per month in revenue.
Yep.
Oh.
Do you want me to get into the story?
Yes, please. Poor kid.
Okay. I'm a father of two kids. One of them is my daughter, who's in college, and another is my son, who's a high schooler. I'm not too strict, but I was very suspicious of my children getting social media. I'm not exactly young, and I thought social media would be bad for them, but eventually I gave in and let them get social media. My son eventually decided to get YouTube, and he created a channel. I wasn't very used to social media, so I didn't do any stuff like creating accounts to see what they were posting like many other parents do. Around 5 to 6 months ago, my son ran into my room screaming and jumping around, yelling about how he reached 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. By now, I was more used to the platform and social media in general, and I congratulated him. If I'm going to be honest, I didn't really care that much, but he seemed really excited, and I didn't want to ruin that for him. Then around 3 months ago, a similar thing happened. He reached 10,000 subscribers. Once again, he ran around screaming in joy about his news. He seemed so happy and excited about this, I congratulated him and let him do his own thing. A month ago, he ended up reaching 20,000 subscribers, which was an amazing achievement to him. He was so happy, and I actually felt kind of proud of him. This was very rare, so it was nice to hear that he was getting very popular in whatever community he was posting in. 2 days ago, the school told me that my son hadn't been in school the past 3 days, saying that he hasn't shown up to classes, and they were curious as to why. I was extremely confused as to why, and it hit me that he was skipping entire school days doing God knows what. When he got home from school, I confronted him about the call from school. He lied and said that he has been at school this whole time, and that wasn't true, but I knew this was a lie. I told him to hand over his phone and kept it in my room. He got mad and stormed into his room, slamming the door behind him. I have one major policy in my house, and that's don't slam doors in my face, especially when I'm mad. In frustration, I went onto his YouTube channel, since I have access to his YouTube channel, and I deleted his YouTube channel. I didn't tell him when this happened, and since he didn't have his laptop with him, which is what he used to make his videos, he had no way of knowing I deleted it. Yesterday, I told him that I deleted his YouTube channel, and I don't think I've seen him angrier. He screamed at me, saying I'm the worst father ever and he hates me a ton. I feel a tiny bit guilty about this, but I've talked to him numerous times about not skipping school. So, am I the asshole?
You're the biggest fucking asshole I've ever heard of. What the fuck? What the actual fuck? You know what the problem is you don't realize what you've done.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, you want to be a parent, you take away the phone, whatever. Why do you have to permanently delete something? And you literally admitted that you did it out of revenge. So you're a piece of shit. There's a difference between, like, listen, these were the rules set. Mm-hmm. He understood the rules. I made them clear to him. If he skipped school again, I would delete his YouTube channel. And he skipped school again. So therefore, here are the consequences. No, he skipped school and you took it away. And then out of fucking some, power trip, you're like, fuck him. I'm going to delete it. Like, you didn't set clear boundaries or anything. It is so hard to get to 20,000 subscribers. And that's also income that he's been earning. But the kid probably didn't tell his dad. The dad probably doesn't know he's making money from YouTube.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, if I was a kid, secret money. I'm not going to tell you, my dad, whatever, secret money. He probably out filming YouTube videos instead of being out of school. Because he's like, why do I need to be in school when I'm already making $3,000 a week when I'm 16 or 15 or however old he was? Why do I need to be go to school when I'm already making money? I'm just going to continue to make YouTube videos. Like, I'm going to be Mr. Beast and I'm going to make a shit ton of money. Well, you can do that. Absolutely. Should you get off school for it? I don't agree with that part. But I skipped school a shit ton and I wasn't making no money on YouTube. So, yeah, no, fuck this, dad. That's fucked up. I hope this kid sent an email, because you can, I don't know 100%, but I imagine that you can send an email to Google and be like, hey, my account accidentally got deleted. Can you restore it? Because even though you've deleted it, it's not disappeared from their back end. Like, they still have all of that stuff, I would hope that they can restore it. Because I've heard like YouTube has taken accounts down and then you can fight and get it restored and stuff. So I hope there's some way that he can recover it. But yeah, you are the biggest piece of shit and you will probably actually lose your relationship with your son. That is such a huge thing. Like if it was TikTok or Instagram, it's still kind of big.
For the States, they make money. Yeah,
for the States, they make money. Still kind of big, but YouTube is so much harder. Yeah. So much more valuable. So much more valuable. Oh my God.
Yeah, this kid had so much potential. Like,
I can just imagine, like, you were pissed.
The resentment.
Yeah. I would have so much resentment. Yeah. For so long.
I wouldn't be able to forgive him. No, ever.
I would never talk to him again.
Yeah.
I'd probably run away.
Honestly, same. Yeah. Yeah, so there's no mention of age, just that he's in high school. But yeah, I would.
Yeah, this dad fucked up.
Yeah, he fucked up big time.
He's probably getting shredded.
So there is an edit. This is going to be hard to listen to.
Oh my God.
It turns out that the phone call that was sent was a prank call from a few bullies at his school. I recently called the school and they told me they never called. And my son has been at school all this time.
You're a piece of shit.
So I checked the past call number and it wasn't one of the school's phone numbers.
What a fucking idiot. So not only do you not trust your son, because he literally didn't admit it and said, no, I was at school. Why don't you check with the school? How about when your son tells you something, you go, or daughter, your kid tells you something, you go and confirm to find out if they're lying or not, and not just automatically going, nope, you're lying. Here's, you know, it's not even punishment. It literally wasn't even a punishment. It was fucking piece of shit parenting power. Power it was trip. Like power trip.
Yeah.
Because like, there's consequences, but consequences need rules that need to be broken and you need to set those boundaries. There was nothing like that. And then he said, no, I was at school. What are you talking about? And you're like, no, I know you're lying. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, who at my school did you talk to that said, like, we can clear this up. Let's go talk to the principal. Like, let's go talk to my teachers that have been in their classes and stuff. Let's go look at the school security cameras. Like, there's so many ways that if your son is saying, no, I was there, that you as a parent can be like, okay, well, I don't believe you, but let's go prove it. Let's go figure this out because I think you're lying. There's nothing wrong with thinking that your kid's lying. You don't have to believe your fucking kids. You definitely don't have to believe them because kids are lying pieces of shit. But when they say that they're not lying, you need to prove that they're not lying and you need to figure that out. Fucking prank phone call.
Before you get hot-headed and do something drastic like this. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It was an act of revenge.
That kid could have bought you a brand new house and a fucking Ferrari,
literally,
buddy.
Literally. Now you're going to be in a home when you're old. You're not going to have anybody taking care of you.
Fuck, the kid's out.
Yeah. Top comment. So you had a tantrum and destroyed something that your son had been working on for a year and had been very successful. Parents shit on their children's accomplishments all the time. He'll survive that. But he will be secretive about his future endeavors and accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
You've weaponized that. The main problem you now face, other than not being good at parenting, is that you don't know why or how he was skipping school, and since he no longer trusts you, you are never really going to know. Dig in for full-scale rebellion. You might consider counseling.
You literally just initiated the next couple worse years of your life because you have now isolated your kid in the worst way. Like, it's one thing to, like, you threw out his favorite toy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so major, and the fact that you didn't understand that when you decided to hit delete is incredibly stupid. Like, this is literally going to build so much resentment.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to want to tell you anything again. Yeah. He's never going to want to talk to you again. He's going to hide everything that he can. He's going to move out as soon as he literally can. He does not want to be around you, and it is going to be so hard for you to repair that trust. But honestly, you fucking deserve it. Because if you can throw a temper tantrum and power trip as a parent like that, like, you're a shit fucking parent.
Yep.
Like, that is shitty. And you deserve all of that kid's resentment and everything. Like, if you're going to pull that shit.
Yep. No, I fully agree. This one made me so angry.
I'm very angry.
I know we're always quick to say, like, cut them off, whatever.
I'm not even saying, like, cut them off or anything. Like, I don't even need to say it because I feel like that's just gonna happen.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, I'm not saying he should cut them off. Like, you know, I'm not even saying like what I think. I'm just saying like, this is what I think it is going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. that kid has no trust in you.
Yeah.
In more.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to talk to you. Doesn't want to be around you. He's not going to tell you anything.
Yep.
I hope he is able to email YouTube and get his account back. Like, the dad should be emailing YouTube and Google and being like, I accidentally hit this and I'm a boomer and I don't know what the fuck I did. Can you please restore my son's YouTube channel?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to read some of his comments.
Like, I would go, like everything is so off board here. And even before you get to delete, I would, like, why can't you just... Oh, I'm just so fucking angry. Like, there's a difference between like taking away your cell phone and taking away like his access to his accounts, because you can totally do that as a parent. But like, why would you go and delete it? Why would you go and delete it? I don't even like, as a parent, like, I don't think you actually have the right to delete that anyway. I don't know. But oh my God.
I think as a parent, you do.
Do you? Like, it's his personal property. The parent didn't provide it to him or anything. So what are, it's digital property. What are the rules there? I have no idea. I think
if you're under 18, your parents,
everything you've ever done is technically your parents.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. Yes and
no. Yeah. I wonder like what's the legal standpoint there for like things that you create.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It was posted 15 days ago. We have no other updates besides that, but that one made me mad.
Should comment on there, be like, you need to reach out and get his account restored. Yeah. Like if you want to make amends, reach out to YouTube and ask to get the account restored. Like, I'm blown away that you would just go and delete it and literally admit that I was being spiteful. What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right, we got to move along. We got to move this along. I'm just going to keep saying the same thing over again with how upset I am. Oh, my God. Triggered me on that one. I'm so sensitive on YouTube.
I know.
I have put in so much work on my YouTube channels, like filming and then editing and posting and thumbnails and descriptions. Like, it is a lot of work and it's a lot of like hours. Like, it's been like a full part-time job. Like, I have spent 20 plus hours every week on top of my 40-hour job. I would come home and I would edit for 2, 3, 4 hours a night. Mm-hmm. We would barely watch any TV. Like, I work so hard on YouTube that just like, I know his pain.
Yeah.
Frustration. Yeah. Poor kid.
I know. Yeah. Okay, move along.
Yeah, let's move along. All right. This one's coming from Petty Revenge again. Follow me to my house. I'll follow you back. I'm driving home yesterday and I needed to change lanes so I could make a right turn in a couple of blocks. I checked my mirror and I hit my turn signal. Well, the guy that was a couple car lengths back sped up to try and block me out of that left lane. Sorry, but I'm coming over. The guy then lays on his horn for half a block. I laughed and waved. I even used all my fingers, not just the middle one. So the guy follows me for the next mile and turns into my neighborhood behind me. Not unusual since there are some apartments there. He follows me for a couple more turns and then I start to pay close attention. The last two turns he would only make if he lived on the exact same street. Still, I have a couple neighbors that drive the same kind of car, so I'm not too worried. Then the guy drives past my house to the end of the block and turns the corner, and now I know that he was just fucking with me. Well, shit, now he knows where I live and what I drive, and I know nothing about him other than he's a guy driving a Subaru. Does that narrow it down? So I got back out of my driveway and around the corner. Sure enough, here he comes around the block and back out of the neighborhood. At this point, I decide to give the guy a taste of his own medicine, and I start following him. He jumps on the main roads and head north. I follow the guy for about 5 miles to the next town. He's driving okay, and I'm keeping a good, safe distance, but on his tail enough that he knows I'm there. I have been watching him gesturing with his hands and swerving a little bit, but not bad though. So I figure he's talking on the phone. I'm hoping he doesn't have a bunch of friends waiting for wherever he's heading. But he also has a temp tag and I still couldn't identify a thing other than the make of the car. So I keep going. He heads through a light and onto Main Street. And at this point, I think he's on the phone with 911. Perfect. Sure enough, the guy pulls up to the police station and into a parking spot. I roll up right next to the guy and hop out to go for a talk. He won't even look at me, so I stick my phone camera in his windshield and take a picture of the dude. Just then, a cop walks up behind me and starts asking me why I'm following the guy and videoing him. Two more cops show up and start asking me a bunch of the questions too. So I explain that he followed me first. They go over all the things that could go wrong with me following someone. So I go over all the things that could go wrong without me following him, and that I was glad that he came to them. Because now, even though I don't know who he is, they do, and he knows it. So now I don't have to worry about him coming to my house at another time. Mm-hmm. They were all telling me how shook up the guy was. He was pretty scared. I told them to let him know that following people to their homes probably wasn't the best activity for him, and they agreed.
Oh my God. This is another example of fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a great revenge story, but it could have been worse. Like, it you guys could need have to be careful. Worse.
Like, road raging ends in so many horrific accidents and stuff. Like, I do not recommend this at all. I would say if you notice that he's following you, drive past your house.
Yeah, I would never have stopped at my house.
Never stop at your house.
Such a rookie move.
Yeah, I've had somebody road rage follow me, and I did not stop at my house. I didn't even, like, I turned down a street, and I just kept going around in the same circle.
Yeah.
I just kept going around the block.
That's smart.
And eventually, once he realized I'm going around the block twice, he just took a left-hand turn.
Yeah.
And he was gone.
Literally, what are you going to do?
Like, oh, yeah.
My Zio was actually telling me that he had a friend that, like, had really bad road rage, and she followed someone to their house. And then he was like, what did you do? Like, when you got out of the car, what did you do? Why? What is the point of following someone if you're, like, do you have intentions of, like, physically fighting them? Like, what?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do, bro? Like, you're so mad that you're just going to get out and yell at them? Does that make you feel better?
Yeah. There was a story that I watched a little while ago in the States where Buddy Biker, I think, followed a woman home after she cut him off in traffic to have words with her. And he followed her up her driveway. I might be getting the story a little bit wrong, but from what I understand, he followed her up her driveway. She went into the house, pulled out a rifle, came back and shot him dead. He was on her property. He chased her down, was on her property, and she was defending herself from a trespasser.
Oh my God.
He's dead. And I don't think she went to jail or anything because that's self-defense.
Is that self-defense?
You never know what he's going to do. Who's to say that he's followed you in a road rage incident to your house, up your driveway? Who's to say he's not about to pull out a gun and shoot you?
Would that be self-defense in Canada too?
No. Canada is way worse for self-defense rules. I just read something about there was a dude who shot someone in Canada and he just got off and they were about to charge him. They were trying to charge him with murder and his lawyer had to fight and prove that it was self-defense.
Hmm.
The four people broke in with zip ties and duct tape. Yeah.
Wow.
And he had like two kids and like he like shot them and one died. And like then he had to go through. He was being charged with like murder.
Oh my God.
There was there was a clip posted by a sheriff in Florida. And he says to shoot the home invaders. Because in their rules, if somebody is on your property, like you're defending yourself. Like if they're trying to rob your house, like that's self-defense if you shoot them.
So, and, sorry, do you know if this is only in states that allow you to carry a weapon?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know 100%. From what I understand, the states have a little bit better self-defense rules when it comes to guns because they are a bit more gun active and Canada doesn't really want guns or anything.
Well, we don't have any laws. That allow guns.
No, we're allowed guns.
No, we're not.
No, we are. We're
hunting.
Or just shooting rings. Like I can go and buy a handgun and I can keep it in a lockbox in my closet and I'm allowed to transport it from my residence to a shooting range.
I don't know what those.
Yeah, so we're allowed that. That's why he had a gun in his house. But like we don't have open concealed carry or open carry. We're not allowed to take guns in public.
Okay.
We're allowed to buy guns and have them in our house. It's very rare for you to hear about the people shooting people in a house because they're usually like shooting range guns that are locked up and gun safe is and locked away. And it's really, and our self-defense rules kind of suck in Canada. Like you can definitely be charged and he's lucky he didn't go to jail for shooting someone entering his house. Mm. But in the States, I forget where it was. And the sheriff's department, he's like, yeah, we just, we want to identify, you know, there's burglaries and they were going house to house and burglarizing. And there's a couple shots fired that was missed. And you're not in trouble, but we're just trying to identify the person. We can't seem to figure out who it was that shot those shots. We just want to identify you and invite you into our weekend courses at target shooting because obviously your aim was a little bit off. And we actually prefer if you shoot them because, you know, that's, you know, that's what should be happening when people are invading your house because that will deter other people from doing it. And I'm just like, that's bold, but like, I don't really disagree with it.
I mean,
I don't like, I'm not a big pro gun person or anything.
No, I'm not either.
Breaking into someone's house is very scary and you never know what their intentions are. And I do believe that you should be able to defend yourself. And if firearms are a legal option where you live, then shooting somebody for entering your house is shouldn't be a wrong decision because you never know what they are going to do.
I know. I just like, sometimes I feel like the lines get blurred and then... like if someone's coming up to your door at night or something, like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's coming into your door and then there's kicking down your door.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with ringing a doorbell. And the rules in the States are like, somebody comes out of your door, you can't do that.
I know. I just feel like the issue, like there are so many incidents that like happen like that. And that is the big reason with like the gun laws in the States.
I don't know. Like in Texas, they have open carry. Like you can just have a gun on your hip. You know, like, you know how many home invasions are in Texas and stuff?
No.
Almost like compared to all the other states, yeah, from what I understand, it's like nothing.
Texas has like the most school shootings.
Well, yeah, there's pros and cons. There's pros and cons. In Canada, we're dealing, I don't know if you've been watching, we're dealing with a huge auto theft thing going on in Toronto right now. People are smashing in front doors and our police chief says, oh, leave your keys by the front door because that's what they're after. Like, I get it that that's the, you say that to like keep yourself safe, like give them what they want, but that shouldn't be the answer.
I know.
And there should be consequences out there for when people are breaking down doors, zip tying people and literally going in them with guns because the criminals still are getting bad guns and are saying, where's your car keys? We're going to go steal your BMW, Audi, Rolls Royce, anything like that. They're breaking down doors now to get into people's houses.
Yes.
They're actually robbing people at gunpoint in Canada now to get their vehicles on the street.
I think there should be definitely consequences, but it shouldn't be on us as citizens to... fight them or
I agree. Like, shouldn't
carry
be on
guns. I don't think we should be carrying guns for that reason.
No, like, I don't think so either.
So your point is not really valid.
No, my point is I don't think our police chief should be saying give them the keys so that it's easier for them to do it because just enables them.
Yes, I know, but you're kind of saying like you're defending like the gun, like being able to conceal.
No, I'm not talking about anything but concealed. I'm talking about him shooting somebody in his own house.
Okay.
I just thought the sheriff's statement was hilarious but kind of accurate. Like, we prefer if you shoot them because if you shot them when they entered your house, less people would stop breaking into houses.
That's fair.
There was another one that I actually like. This story reminded me of. It was like road rage. I try to stay away from road rage. Like, there's nothing that you're driving and like somebody, you know, merges in front of you. Don't let that make you angry. Aside from the point of like, you can tell how big a person is by the things that make them angry.
You're being a hypocrite. You're being such a hypocrite right now, bro.
Not a hypocrite. I like to think that I don't get road raged as I used to. I'm a lot more of a calmer driver. I used to get road raged a lot. Now I tend to just let things go. Listen, there was one time a year ago when
I was
trying to merge lanes.
I know.
And he wasn't letting me in. Yeah. And I was not road raging. I was just creeping forward to try to keep my position. I wasn't honking. I wasn't swerving. I was just kind of going a little bit ahead and wasn't conceding right away. I don't like to consider that absolute road rage. I sped up a little bit to try to block, whatever. But like,
you're trying to fuck with him.
Okay, there's intense road rage. I recommend not doing road rage because you never know who's carrying a gun.
Okay? Oh, 100%. Yes.
You never know who's carrying a gun.
Yeah, I know. It's like always err on the side of caution.
Always err on the side of caution. Even in Canada, like you never know who you're road raging against. Like, we don't have like carries. Like, nobody's like in the States, people can actually carry while they're in their trucks. In Canada, you don't. But the criminals that are in stolen cars, you never know who they are.
No.
And they have guns that are unregistered.
Yeah.
And they will shoot at you and not give a fuck.
Yep.
So I would say avoid all kinds of road rage for your own sanity, because you never know when you're going to try to fight someone, get out of the car, and you're just going to get shot.
Yep.
It's wild.
Yeah, I know.
It's wild.
I have I have road rage, but I don't do anything about it. See, I think there's a difference. I yell in the car and I'm like, fuck you.
You get so angry, but that you won't honk the horn. You won't flash them to get out of the fast lane. You just like, remind me of like the Too Fast, Too Furious girl in the pink car. Like you just get so angry. I literally like, we'll be going somewhere and like, we'll be having a good day. And Teresa will be like, oh, do you want me to drive? And I'm like, no, I'll drive. Because I don't get angry. I can sit in traffic. I can have people cut me off. I can whatever. And I don't get angry anymore. But you, I want you to stay in a good mood. So because I want you to stay in a good mood, you're not driving. I will drive. You can drive on the way home when there's no traffic on the road. I'm going to drive right now because I don't want you getting angry. Because Teresa's emotions, they swing greatly. And road rage, one of those things. Like somebody like cuts her off or somebody's not going fast enough. They won't get out of the fast lane. She won't even like go around them. She'll just be like fuming in the fucking fast lane behind them. Being like, why won't this person move out of the way? They're doing 110 in 100 zone. What is this? So yeah, I try to drive.
Don't be in the fast lane if you're going 110, bro.
I know. That's why I try to drive. But my main message at the end is like, you never know what people are going to do. So just avoid road raging.
Agreed. So many lessons in today's episode.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving along.
Yeah.
I think I need another drink. All right. What do we got? Vodka, lemonade, peach. Bam. Oh, that's delicious. Thank you, Cottage Springs.
Mmm.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so good.
Juicy.
It tastes like juice.
Peach juice.
Yeah. That's really good.
Just have 5 of these and you'll be sloshed.
All right. This is another one that's more like OP isn't really getting revenge, but like someone was vengeful in the story.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for getting mad at my stepmom for cutting my little brother's hair? My dad, 47, remarried last year to my new stepmom, 32, after him and my mother's divorce. Me, 24, and my little brother, 10, don't have much in common due to the 10-plus-year age gap. But he has decided to grow out his hair, and I found that we bonded well when I braided it for him. I would braid his hair, and we would talk about whatever was going on, and we both enjoyed the time we spent. My stepmom would always express how she disliked the styles I did on him, but my brother loved it, so I didn't mind her negative comments. Last month at family dinner, my stepmom repeatedly asked my little brother how he would feel if he just got a haircut. After he told her multiple times that he had no intentions of cutting his hair at this point, she just wouldn't leave it alone. I tried to help him out and change the subject because I could see he was getting irritated, but no matter what I said, she wouldn't leave it alone. And my dad wasn't any help. A little more information. Me and my brother aren't very close to my stepmom. My brother snapped at her and said it wasn't any of her business what he did with his hair and that she isn't even her real mom. This sent my stepmom into the kitchen with tears. This made my dad angry and we both got in trouble. Last week, my brother called me crying and said my stepmom had cut his hair off. I came over and after I calmed him down, I asked what exactly happened. And he said he went to the barber for a shape up and my stepmom had instructed the barber to cut it all off. I immediately called her and told her off, expressing that it wasn't her place to take that away from him. A while after I got off the phone with her, my dad called and yelled at me, saying it wasn't that serious and he thinks it looks better that way. I told him that my brother loved his hair and this could be a hit to his view of himself. My dad blew me off and said, if so, he can just grow his hair back. I took my brother for dinner to make him feel better and then to my mother's house. Even she was furious. My dad called me when he got back and was upset that I brought my brother back to my mom's house. But I refused to take him back. My brother asked me to take him to my mother's and we both stayed the night there. My stepmom called in the morning and I declined. My dad said he wanted to apologize and I said that I didn't need an apology. My brother did. He said I was blowing this out of proportion and that my brother will learn to like the new hairstyle. Me and my brother haven't been answering any of their calls or texts, but I have to know. Am I the asshole?
No. What the fuck? That's traumatizing. Poor kid. Just trying to grow his hair and then evil stepmom comes along. Why are all the stepmoms evil? Like, I don't understand why it has become the stigma of a known thing that stepmoms are evil. And it's become that way because stepmoms have been evil. But like, why are they always evil? Why are they always like so rude and such a bitch? Can't you be an awesome stepmom? Like, why can't you ever just be the cool stepmom?
I think they're always a little bit jealous of their new partner's like existing family. I think is like,
yeah, they're always
what
power
usually
tripping.
Happens. Yeah.
I need power.
They
I'm
take
the authority.
They're a little possessive over their new husbands or partners. And I don't know. They seem to be resentful over their existing family.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That's
cool. But in this scenario, she literally wanted to take revenge on him for like making her cry.
Yeah.
It's like, how old are you? You're supposed to be a mom. Like,
you know,
you're being petty.
You know what I would do if I was that 10-year-old?
What?
Buzzers. 2 a.m.
Honestly?
Down the middle.
Honestly, it'll grow back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
if you left your hair so much, it would grow back. Honestly?
Fuck you.
I like that.
All you 10-year-olds out there who got your hair cut, or your parents, you cut your kid's hair without the permission, watch out, 2 a.m., lock your door. Yeah, no, I would mess her hair up.
Yeah. Okay, so there is an edit, a small edit. For those of you asking me, yes, my brother and my father are black. My stepmom is not.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I think for a white person to talk about like, or to have such an opinion on like black people's hair.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. That's
even worse.
It makes it worse.
That's way worse.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I feel like it's doubly wrong, but at the same time, maybe it shouldn't be. It's just like in a vacuum, let the fucking kid have the hair that he wants to have, regardless of race or anything.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Top comment, overall vote, not the asshole. Top comment. Not the asshole. It's petty revenge on her part. A person like that shouldn't have children, that's for sure. What type of deranged adult takes revenge on a 10-year-old? It might be needed to cut your hair for school or some other activity, but in this case, you explain. The fact that she did so without your mother's approval is also a very big issue. Keep protecting your brother. You are doing a great job.
And why are the husbands always so fucking clueless and pieces of shit?
I know.
It's not that big of a deal.
I know.
Fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, there are probably many reasons why. I'm not going to really get into that, but like, yeah.
Common theme.
Yeah. Yeah, this one made me really upset.
That's some bullshit revenge.
We should do it like a stepmom from hell. Like stepmom, stepdad from hell.
We will.
Episode.
Yeah, we should.
I feel like that would be similar to like in-laws.
Yeah, if you guys got some good stepmom, stepdad, like step-parents, you know, like throw them our way. Throw them up on our subreddit.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, back to me.
Okay, let's move along.
All right. Am I the asshole for never inviting my husband's family?
Where?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the title. So okay. Just move on. So I was wondering. I was like, they do say English is not my first language. So sorry for the mistakes.
Fair.
You guys won't hear the mistakes because I filter that as I read. I may have ADHD, but my brain is kind of good at this.
Mine's not.
I may say some things backwards with dyslexic, but at least I'm continuing.
I may say some things backward with dyslexic.
Dyslexia. I don't know. I've never been actually diagnosed with anything. Okay, let's just go. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
My eldest daughter will be 11 this year. When she turned 1, I invited all of my husband's family to her birthday party at a very nice restaurant. We all live in the same city. They all said that they would come, and I made the reservation. I pre-ordered the food, and I paid for everything. There should have been about 15 people there. A week before the dinner, my mother-in-law reached out to me and told me that no one would be able to come. Everyone was busy, and also Easter was coming up. Okay. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just called my friends. I told them that as friends, they needed to help me out in this tough situation. They are obligated to come and eat all of the food. And we had an amazing time. On the day of the party, my mother-in-law called and asked if she could come to her house for a visit. I answered that we were busy with the birthday party dinner that day, but if she was welcome to visit on any other day. She asked, "What dinner?" I answered, "The one I prepaid for, but now with people who were not so busy preparing for Easter. She didn't answer anything to that, so I moved on to another topic after the pause. Again, I didn't want to make a big deal of it. Since then, I have never invited my husband's family to any gatherings I hosted. If someone just wants to visit, I am always welcoming and polite, but no family parties. My mother-in-law finally snapped after the new year. She told me that it's been 10 years and I need to stop ignoring the family. I told her that I was ignoring no one. I literally talked to her sister and niece last week. I'm just not going to waste money on people who might or might not come ever again. Am I the asshole? Like, if they apologize, I'd start inviting them, but it didn't come to their mind. I'm not going to teach a bunch of adults manners and when to apologize. I have two kids to teach that to, and that's more than enough. Mm-hmm. But it has been 10 years, a little long to hold on to a small thing. So am I the asshole?
It's petty, but I love it.
It's kind of revenge.
It is petty revenge. No, I don't think you're the asshole, honestly, because I think...
No, you're not.
Like you said, if they would apologize,
yeah,
you would start inviting them. But they don't seem to realize that that's what is the adult thing to do. Mm-hmm. You do something wrong, you apologize for it, and you make up for it. Like, you don't just... Because 10 years have passed, like, time doesn't really heal all.
No, you still haven't apologized for 10 years.
If you haven't taken accountability for yourself, like,
yeah,
it's not just gonna blow over.
Exactly.
And I would react the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not the asshole.
Top comment: for all of those saying that it was just a one-time thing and that OP should let it go,
no.
Remember that every single member of the husband's family canceled. It looked like it was intended and organized to slight her. One, that they should, at the very least, have the decent to apologize. Not the asshole.
Yeah. Also, if she knew, like, if everyone knew that it was a paid event, the least you could do is pay her back.
Yeah. And, like, the next comment says, the only person to notify her was the mother-in-law. So it's like, wait, 15 people weren't coming, and they had just the mother-in-law tell her, like, hey, I won't be able to come. You couldn't even tell her yourself, hey, I won't be there. And it was everybody. It's like you all boycotted it. And, like, why wasn't the husband pissed and stuff, too? So it's like, what the suspicious? What the that fuck is very going suspicious. On here? Like, it's not just like, oh, two people couldn't come. It's like, I pre-booked everything, and then you guys all said, no, nope, we're not coming. And, like, wouldn't the husband be pissed? Like,
what is the husband's opinion on this?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm maybe jumping to conclusions here, but what if the mother-in-law said it was canceled and told everybody it was canceled? And, like,
right? And they were just like, oh, okay. And yeah. They weren't that close with her, so they didn't have communication.
Yeah.
And it was all the mother-in-law?
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been, like, discussed, though. Like, the next family Christmas or get-together, like...
There weren't any, were there? She said she kind of distanced herself.
Well, she says that she just doesn't... She doesn't host.
Okay.
She still goes, I think. There's an update. Hi, everyone. I'm really thankful for everyone who put in the time and effort into commenting. I read everything, and although I am thankful for the support the majority of people have given me, I kind of agree with the you're the asshole people as well. I mean, at this point, it's just a very silly situation. We have a baptism next month, and not inviting people would cause more drama, which I would hate to do. It's just not worth it. Mm. Well, yeah, like, when there's certain situations, like, you know, you host, but, like, if it's not necessary, don't. You're not offering.
Yeah.
You're not doing it.
Yeah.
You're not obligated. Stick to it. You're not obligated. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Try to organize something for the family, and then you guys all no-show? Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I can understand if Jeff and Jerry didn't show up, but the whole fucking 15 people didn't show up?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
100%. Yeah. And, like, this is, like, the biggest thing that ticks me off is, like, not respecting my time, not communicating with me when you cancel. Like, last minute cancellations really piss me off. Like,
yeah,
I don't like people who, like, don't give notice or respect my time.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, this is probably, like, exactly how I would react too. Mm-hmm. This is, like, my biggest trigger, honestly.
biggest
like friendship ender too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right,
moving along. Back to you.
Back to me. Luna, how you doing over there?
Luna, you want to read a story? Luna Stern. Here's the story. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, you were starting to sing a Christmas song.
I said meow, meows.
Yeah, but it was...
It's a Christmas theme?
Yeah. Meow, 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 meow. Dashing through the snow.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow,
meow, meow. Can't wait for Christmas.
Oh, my God. Stop. Teresa's obsessed with Christmas. It's April.
I love Christmas.
Stop. Like, my birthday's in Christmas. Stop talking to
me. My birthday's in Christmas, too.
Your birthday's after Christmas.
You said my birthday's in Christmas. My birthday's also in Christmas.
My birthday is Christmas.
Your birthday's on Christmas. That's the correct way to say that.
So then, technically, it's in Christmas.
Okay. Okay. Moving along. This comes from Petty Revenge. I've been calling my sister by her full given name when she dead names my niece. My brother's kid, 22 female, came out as trans on her 21st birthday about a year ago and changed her name from Lance to Lacey. Fake names. Most of our family accepted it, and the ones who didn't weren't close anyways, except our sister, Eva, 45 female. We are a Native American family with a lot of creative names, and my sister's birth name is something close to Evangeline. Pronunciation.
Do you ever think about how Luna's toe beams are black and pink?
Yep, she's mixed.
Evangeline,
okay. We are a Native American family with a lot of creative names, and my sister's birth name is something close to Evangeline, but she decided to go by Eva after a white kid said her name was Rezzed Out, in brackets, low-class stereotypical name from an Indian reservation. She's insisted on Eva for about 35 years, and we've all obliged. Now she's regularly been calling my trans niece by her dead name, Lance, since she came out as trans, so I started calling her Evangeline, which she hates. The whole family caught on and have only been referring her as Evangeline for about a year now, and she is furious every time she comes to family events. Recently, she's been calling me by my full first name to bother me. My first name is a portmanteau hyphenation of my mom's four sisters' names. Something like Alexiana Dorothique, but wackier. People have always called me AD or Lexi, or my brother calls me Dodo since he was a kid. I love my full first names, but it's cumbersome to use an 8-syllable name regularly. Well, my full name caught on with my family and friends. Just despite Evangeline, we have all reverted back to our full names instead of nicknames. Our dad is no longer Frank, he's Franklin. Our mom is no longer Ross, she's Rosalyn. Brother is no longer Nate, he's Nathaniel. Sister-in-law is no longer Kate, she is Catherine, etc. All fake names. This has truly driven Evangeline away, which was the plan in the first place. Lacey makes for better company, so good riddance to a crappy sister.
Jeez. Biggest thing I took away from this was... Kate is short form for Catherine. A cat was short form for Catherine.
This has been an ongoing debate.
Inside joke. If you get it, you get it. If not, we're moving along. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Wow, that's, yeah, I mean, that's petty revenge. It's great. Petty Everybody revenge. Else starts going by the old names, make her comments ineffective, makes her disses ineffective when, you know, that's what I prefer you to call me that. Okay, thank you very much. You don't prefer that I call you that name. Therefore, sucking it to you, sticking it to you, but I'm good over here. Call me my full name. I love it. You pronounce those 8 syllables. You suffer while you're saying them too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest thing is like the niece, right? The trans niece.
Yeah.
Who, it's not that hard, guys. Come on. You can't just like.
I mean, there's a difference between trying and not trying. Like, I'm not going to say it's easy. Because 100%. After you've known somebody for so long and then you're changing your name, it might slip.
Yes.
But you are making the intention of doing it. So that's different. There's a difference between accidentally doing it because it's not easy. It's hard. This person's name is changing. Yes. That's a big thing. It's hard, but it's more of your demeanor about it. You are making zero effort to adjust and you are still like, you're doing it on purpose.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's the petty revenge. Like a year. This was going on for a year. Mm. She was calling her by her name.
Jesus. You know what we need to do on this story?
What?
Because people have been asking us to do it. We need to read the top comment.
Top comment. My daughter just turned 5 and we all call her Evie. When she doesn't listen, her name is Evangeline. And she kind of hates it, lol. But I mean, my mother did the same with my obscure native name and it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand the need to short form it in today's age. You know, people don't want to stick out too much like that. They want to kind of be part of the friend and everything. So I understand why people want the short form names. I've never liked a nickname myself.
Yeah. I don't have any nicknames. I'm just Teresa.
No, you have a nickname.
What?
Teresa.
What the fuck?
Like tree? Teresa.
In elementary school, people used to call me Tree Branch.
Well, you do have an Instagram page, secret Instagram page that's like Teresa or something.
Save the trees.
Yeah.
Save the trees.
If you guys are listening to this full episode, you just got very valuable information. So go give Teresa a follow if you can find it.
No, I won't accept it.
Good luck. It's private. So good luck.
I won't accept it.
But yeah. No, you don't really have a nickname. Masson, some people call me Den.
Called you Den.
I always got nicknames at work. And they're not like, they never stick. They're Big always D. like...
Big D. That used to be called Big D.
I don't know why. I never liked that one. Wes always called me that one at BMW, and I was never a fan of it. Never a fan. I feel like there's a guy at Tormont that called me Big D too, Brian, I think. But I always get Nuggets, Colorado.
Nuggets?
Yeah, Denver Nuggets. The basketball team. Their basketball team's called the Denver Nuggets.
Oh.
Or Bronco, because football team. And or Colorado, because Denver's from Colorado. So
people call you that?
Yeah, they call me Colorado. They'll be like a rare person. It'll be like always within the first couple weeks of a new job and stuff.
Hmm.
Until they like remember my name is Denver. Masson used to call me Den.
She still does.
Yeah, she still does it sometimes.
She actually just called you that like a couple weeks ago in the group chat. She said Den.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I never really noticed anymore. But yeah, Madison's really the only one who consistently gets away.
I like Den.
I used to call Madison Mad Maddie.
Mad Maddie. I like it.
Yeah, but I never really like called her Maddie. I think she tried to do Maddie for a bit. I was never on board with it.
She doesn't look like a Maddie.
No.
All right, moving along.
Let's move along.
Yeah.
All right. This one, you know what? I'm going to do the big one because we're kind of running out of time. I don't think we're going to get through all the stories I had lined up.
Okay.
This one is the number one rated story in the pro revenge subreddit.
Okay.
So it's banger. 81,000 upvotes. It's an all-timer from 5 years ago. Mm. Boom. Coworker tried to get me fired over breast implants. So I pulled a reverse Uno card.
Ooh. Let's hear it.
I'm going to try to read this one a little bit fast because it's a lengthy one. All right.
How long?
Long.
Can I see?
No. You always, Teresa does this. She's like, how long is it? Why you gotta do such a long one? And then I do the long ones. And then we clip it down into the TikTok format for our Instagram and TikTok. And they blow up. And people love the long ones. The algorithm loves the long ones. And then she's always like, that was such a good story you have. But when I'm reading it, she's like, why is it so long?
Because I have to sit here and like try to focus for like 15 minutes straight. It's hard.
It is hard. It's when you're not the one reading, it's a job to pay attention and follow the story because your mind gets distracted like, so quickly.
Oh, that light needs to be dusted.
Yeah, oh, a little flicker over there.
Look at my diploma over there. Yeah. I'm going to read every freaking word about it. Okay. Yes. But actually, let us know if you guys like the longer stories. Which you prefer?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Would you prefer more short stories or more long stories? Wait.
Yeah.
More short stories or less long stories?
No. That's the same thing. More short stories or less stories that are longer?
Yes. That's it right there.
Let us know.
All right. 4 years ago, when I was 24, my mom died of breast cancer, and both of my grandparents had also died from breast cancer, so I saw a specialist for a screening. I found out that I did have some cells in one of my breasts that could turn cancerous at any given moment. Mm. So I was told that I had a few options. Number one, I could have regular screenings every 3 to 4 months until it does develop into cancer. I was told the risk of cells becoming cancerous are very high due to my family history, but it could also potentially never turn, so I could be getting screenings for no reason. Number two, I could get a single mastectomy on the breast with the bad cells, but they need to keep an eye on the other one, so I'd still need regular checkups on the other breast. Number three, I could get a bilateral mastectomy and remove all of my breast tissue, basically eliminating all risk. Well, I went for option three. It was admittedly the most drastic option, but after seeing what cancer did to my mom and grandmothers, I did not want to risk it. I was warned about scarring, but told it should be fairly minor. Well, it wasn't. Left me with two huge pink jagged scars on either side of my chest, each about an inch long and a half an inch wide, and it caused me to go into a pretty severe depression, where it got to the stage of me not even leaving my flat because I didn't want to see people, throwing out my mirrors and getting physically sick of looking at myself.
Oh my God.
So I went to a therapist who suggested plastic surgery. The therapist said they never normally do that, but it was clearly something I was struggling with and I might never get over it, and the therapist could see why I struggled with it. Although, I'll admit, the therapist did send me to ask about scar reduction. The plastic surgeon suggested a cream, laser, or implants. The cream didn't work and the laser was both expensive and risky, so I decided to go with the implants. My natural boobs were an F cup, so I went slightly smaller with double D's. Since then, my mental health has greatly improved and I feel a lot better about the way that I look. My confidence has gone up, and so is my self-esteem. I know I shouldn't put so much into my appearance, but I'm not exaggerating about these scars. They were huge, bright pink, jagged and raised, and just really awful to look at, and I hated seeing myself. And now they are nicely hidden away and I can barely feel them. Now, to the present day, I'm 28 years old and working in an office. I'm doing a lot better than I was. My coworker, Jill, found out I had a boob job, but nothing about the cancer part. When myself and a friend were talking about planning a holiday and she made a joke about me going on the plane with my implants, well, Jill overheard that. By the end of the day, the entire office knew I had a boob job, but not why. About half a dozen people confirmed that Jill was the one who told them. Over the next few months, Jill made so many jokes and comments about my chest to coworkers when I was in earshot, at one point saying I had more plastic than Barbie and calling me fake in two ways. I didn't hear this one myself, but a friend in the office told me that Jill at one point referred to me as a sack of silicone. I don't know what her problem was exactly, but at one point she mentioned the NHS. So I assume Jill thought that I'd got my tits done for free on taxpayer money. I'd gotten the mastectomy from NHS, but gone private for therapy and implants. I'm imagining this person's in Britain, in Great Britain or something in the UK, because they say flats there and I have no idea what NHS is.
Yeah.
I'm imagining it's public healthcare.
Okay.
Moving along. I asked her to stop more than once, but unfortunately the places I talked to her were places like the lift and the woman's bathroom, where there weren't any cameras, and Jill just kept making comments no matter how often I asked her not to. I wouldn't say it was every single day, but I heard at least 3 comments per week for about 3 months. I hit my breaking point when me, Jill, and a few other coworkers were having lunch. I referred to something being shallow, and Jill chimed in and said, "You'd know all about being shallow," while gesturing to my chest. I snapped. I said, "Do you know why I have these? A few years ago, the doctor found potentially cancerous cells in my breast tissue. I was advised to get a mastectomy and was left with huge, ugly scars on my chest. I went to see a therapist who sent me to a cosmetic surgeon who advised me to get implants to hide the scars. And I did that just so I could look at myself in the mirror without crying. So maybe next time you want to judge somebody for having cosmetic surgery, you should ask them why they had it first." And I felt like a mic drop moment, and I picked up my food and left. For the rest of the day, I had about one third of my office come up to me and offer support. And the rest tell me that Jill was just joking around was actually being a bitch. I replied that Jill was being a bitch long before I was. Mm-hmm. I then got an email from HR saying they wanted to talk to me the following day. And when I called for clarification, they mentioned a hostile work environment. I knew the person who signed off on the email and had spoken to her. Her name was Debbie, and she was really good friends with Jill. Mm. So I was fairly confident on who had reported me. I realized that if I was already being sent to HR, I needed as much ammunition as possible. So I went about collecting my information. As Debbie had dealt with me so far, it was safe to assume she would be the person reviewing the complaint with me. And if that was true, I was absolutely fucked. However, I vaguely remembered a section on complaints that was in my contract when I first signed on with the company. I flicked through the contract and there was a part in complaints section that said I was contractually allowed to request a change of reviewer if I felt the allocated reviewer was biased. It was called an impartial overseer. I photocopied that page and highlighted that part. Then I asked the people who had offered their support over Facebook and said, basically, HR have asked to see me. Do any of you remember Jill insulting me to your face? And are you willing to write and sign something that says what you heard it and when? Not everyone was willing to help, as some feared what would happen in the office due to HR being close with Jill and management. But about 20 people were willing to help me. I guess roughly when I asked Jill to stop previously, the four asks over the last few months, some timings were easy to guess that they just happened on my break or when I first arrived at work. I wrote them all down, along with a rough time of when the lunchroom confrontation happened and a list of names who was there for the lunchroom confrontation. I got to work slightly early the next morning. I went around to everyone who had messaged me and most of them had messaged me back with a printed and signed letter. This isn't the exact words, but the 16 letters were summed up in this way, and here's the gist of it. My name is this, I work with this person, and at this time, this person referred to her with an insult from Jill and blah, blah, blah. I wound up with 16 letters, all from different people, and the one of them who was in the lunchroom with my conversation with Jill. Some even had bullet-pointed lists of everything Jill had said to them about me or other people, and as it turns out, Jill has issues with a lot of people's appearances. She apparently made comments about one coworker's weight, and something about another coworker's nose, as which were put into these letters. There are about 45 people in the office, so while 16 isn't the majority, it's a decent amount. The letters weren't hugely long, most were only a paragraph, but they all had the necessary information. So I was asked to come down to HR at 10 a.m. I took the letters from the coworkers, the photocopy of the page in my contract, and my dates and times in a little folder with me. I got there, and Debbie was overseeing the interview. She got up from her desk, ready to lead me into another room. I immediately turned to the other HR worker who was currently there and said, "Oh, so is my meeting with you then?" And Debbie was like, "Nope, you're with me." I replied that this doesn't sit well with me, and as my contract states, I have the right to an impartial overseer. And as I said that, I took the contract page out of my folder. Debbie read it. I wouldn't even let her take it from my hands because there was a shredder close by. And she said she could be impartial. I replied that I really didn't mean to be a pain, but I had it on good authority that the person on the other end of this complaint is her friend. And my contract does say I'm allowed to an impartial overseer. Debbie stomped off to get a supervisor. Supervisor asked how I know that she can't be impartial. And I told him that I have it on good authority that Jill, who is on the other end of the complaint, is a close friend of Debbie. He asked Debbie, "Is this true?" To which she only replied that I can be impartial. Supervisor took a deep breath, asked the other HR rep to come with him, and the four of us went in to review the complaint. I thanked them for being so accommodating, and Debbie took out the complaint, and all three of them went through it. Debbie looked homicidal the whole time the interview was happening, as she had clearly anticipating firing me, or at least recommending me to be fired. The interview went something like this. It took over a half an hour, and they kept asking me the same questions, but phrased in different ways. So here is a really drastically condensed version. Question: You said outside that you think Jill, last name, reported you. Why is this? Answer. Jill has had an issue with me for about 3 months. Another question. Why didn't you come to us when you realized Jill had an issue? Answer. Well, I have no issue with her. Question. What issue does Jill have with you? Answer. 4 years ago, a specialist identified potentially cancerous cells in my breast tissue. I had a surgery to remove the breast tissue. Therefore, it left me with huge scars on my chest. And then I went to a cosmetic surgeon or plastic surgeon to get breast implants to cover my scars. This is the medical history, which you all have a copy of in my file and full permission to review. Jill found out about my breast implants, but didn't know about the cancer. Jill had a problem with my breast implants and decided to communicate this problem to our coworkers. Question. Why do you feel this is true? Answer. Here's 16 signed statements from other coworkers all testifying that Jill told the entire office I had breast implants on the day she found out and has since made comments about these implants frequently. They have quotes of what Jill said to them and rough times and dates. Question. Rough times and dates? Answer. No one knew this would escalate so much to the extent that no one really took notes of when it happened. Question. What event or events do you think led directly to the complaint of harassment? Answer. For me, the harassment began when Jill told everyone about my breast implants without my consent. But as to the complaint placed against me, it would probably be what happened about the time yesterday in the lunchroom. Jill made a comment about me being shallow while gesturing to my breasts. I replied by giving her an abbreviated version of my relevant medical history and ending with a comment about the importance of getting the full story. There are cameras in the lunchroom, so I'm sure you'll be able to find that conversation. I'll admit I could have handled the situation better, but after 3 months, I felt I had to put my foot down. Here's a list of the names for the people who were present. There were 6 people at the table, including Jill and myself. One of these people is also in these letters and has written their account of the conversation and signed it. Question. Had you had a conversation with Jill prior to this regarding her comments about you? Answer, several times, spaced out over 3 months. Each time I communicated to her, I felt uncomfortable and upset with these comments she was making and would appreciate if she were to stop. Question, to your knowledge, was Jill made aware of your former cancer at any point? Answer, no, it wasn't mentioned in the conversation with my friend that she overheard, and I didn't tell her because frankly it's none of her business, and I did not feel the need to detail my medical history to a coworker in order to avoid sexual harassment. Supervisor stands up and says, well, I think we're done here. He shakes my hands and sends me back to my desk, saying I'd hear from them after they reviewed all the evidence, and then they would make a decision on the case. Well, I go back to my desk, I pull up my cover letter, and I prepare to start job searching again. About an hour goes by, and the person who wrote the letter and was there for the lunchroom conversation gets called in HR. They come back about 10 minutes later. The other person who was also there gets called in to HR. 10 minutes later, another coworker. They all get called in one by one. Then the people who wrote the letters but weren't in the lunchroom yesterday were also called one by one to go in. By about 3:30, it looks like everyone who wrote a letter or was there in the lunchroom had been interviewed. Then, finally, Jill got called in. She's gone for 30 minutes and comes back fuming. She glares at me while I work, but I just ignore her. 4:30-ish, Jill gets called into HR again. 5 p.m. rolls around and everyone is either leaving or getting ready to leave when Jill storms back into the office. She glares at me the whole time while she packs up her desk. She then starts telling anyone that will listen that I got her fired before shoving her way into the lift. An email comes from HR. My case has been closed.
Oh, Jill, you got yourself fired. Mm-hmm. You played yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a good one.
That's some revenge, getting that's someone fired there.
Great revenge.
Like, how big of a piece of shit
it's honestly,
do you have to be to make some fun of someone's appearance, regardless of whether her medical history was there? Like, if she wants a boob job, a nose job, a lip job, a chin job, you have no position to say anything about it. She's your coworker.
Yep. Do your
fucking job and go home.
Yep. Yeah. Why is it any of your business?
It's not.
How does it affect you? In what way? It
doesn't.
Exactly.
Just a like shit talker, drama starter.
Yeah. This honestly isn't even like revenge. Honestly, it's kind of just like
karma.
The consequence of your own actions.
Yeah, exactly. Karma.
It's like she didn't do anything like that she shouldn't have done.
No.
Like an OP.
Yeah. No, exactly.
She reacted a normal, like she just held her ground.
It's harassment.
And it is harassment. Yeah.
Even if she didn't have a surgery and she just wanted a boob job, who the fuck are you to say shit, bud?
Exactly.
None of your business. You overheard a conversation. You're a fucking nosy little bitch.
When was this posted? 5 years ago?
5 years ago.
So 2019? Mm-hmm. Like.
It's still the same.
It's still the same. Like, yeah, you should still, like, have the same views in 2019. Like, people could do whatever the fuck they want with their bodies.
Literally.
It has nothing to do with you. It's none of your business.
Same thing as making fun of people for the clothes they wear, the laugh they have, the hair they do.
Yeah.
Like, punch your clock, do your job, go home.
Yeah.
You got what you deserve. Disgusting.
And she had other issues with other employees too, which says a lot. One.
Says a lot.
Says a lot, Jill.
It says a lot.
You'll probably get fired from your next job too.
Probably.
And she'll probably blame that person.
She's a blamer.
Never look inwards. Never take accountability for herself.
She's a blamer.
Yeah.
Top comment. Paper trails are often the undoing of petty, vindictive people. I've seen it several times in my life, providing said paper trail usually, and it's always satisfying. This one was especially satisfying. Bonus, you can now tell people that your breasts are so magnificent, they get people fired. I mean, if you really want to.
I love it. Yeah, yes.
That's good.
All right. This one's from 6 years ago. 62,000 upvotes. From Pro Revenge. Guy quits his job thinking he became rich. Hey, new to Reddit, I thought I would post my story here. I work for a construction company and we do remodeling on homes. We have a rule here that we get to keep anything we find behind the walls. We hired this guy, we really needed a worker badly, who was a total a-hole from day one. I've been working for this company for 5 years, and this guy had only been doing construction for 1 year after he got fired from his accounting job from getting a DUI. Anyways, he would always make fun of my clothes and my accent, and one day he went too far by telling my boss about my private Instagram account pics. He got on my phone and looked through my Instagram page and showed my boss pictures of me smoking weed. Little did he know that my boss is my friend from 8 years when we used to smoke together before we both quit. I was so mad that he violated my privacy that I made a plan to fuck him over. He was the kind of guy who would always come in late and complain that trains or traffic is why he was always late. One day I overheard him saying that if he won the lottery, he would quit his job for not getting the respect he deserves. You have to earn your respect here. One day, I bought some fake gold coins online and I put them in a metal box. I found an antique store and waited for a chance to hide it in the wall. Luckily, I did not have to wait long. The day he found the coins, it seemed like it was the best day ever. First thing he did when he opened the box, he called my boss an effing loser and he quit immediately on the spot. He said, "Fuck this place, I'm rich." LOL. Little did he know that was the best day of my life. After he quit, my boss told us that he was going to fire him anyways for always showing up late. I wish I could see the look on his face when he finds out the gold coins are fake. Best $40 I've spent in my life. Thanks for reading.
I love it. Oh my God, that's amazing. That reminds me of like a couple of videos I've seen with like the lottery tickets, the fake winning lottery tickets for like $100,000. And then they go off on the people around them of how much they hate them. And they're like, "Buddy, it's a fake ticket." And they're like, "Oh, fuck."
Yeah.
That's amazing. "Oh, fuck you, I quit. You're still broke, bitch. You broke."
Why would you? You don't even know the value of them. Why would you just say that? "I'm going to quit."
Yeah.
"Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you." What do you mean? Like, bro. Yeah,
what?
You're digging yourself a hole here.
Oh my gosh.
Deserved.
Love it.
Yeah.
Top comment? We have to say every top comment now.
Sure.
We had one person on Instagram that says we don't say the top comments enough. So now, top comments on every story.
Okay. "What a fucking moron." Quotations. "Before I get these appraised or even think twice about why these would be here, I'd better burn this bridge immediately."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't burn your bridges.
Yeah.
Wait until you're solid. Wait until you the money is in the account.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. My last story.
Okay.
I've got one. It's short. Let's go. Brother learns when I tell him he'll be sorry, he will be sorry. Ooh. So my brother and I used to live together in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath apartment. He had a nasty habit of using chewing tobacco, which I wasn't fussed about if he did it in his room, because I smoked in my room and I felt that judging how he partook of his tobacco as opposed to how I do would be hypocritical. I'm an odd duck and I like to take hot baths in a dark bathroom. It's just something that I've done since I was a kid. I've been sitting on our toilet, getting out of my clothes to bathe when I felt something pour down my back. I hopped up, slammed the light on and saw it was one of those soda cans my brother used to spit tobacco juice into. Needless to say, I was violently disgusted and downright enraged.
Oh.
I took my bath, changed my clothes, and proceeded to give my brother a verbal bashing, which ended with me threatening him that if he ever left a spit can on the back of the toilet again, he'd be sorry. Well, it wasn't even a week later and he did it again. Oh. Except I wasn't originally intending to bath this time. I was just using the toilet to change my tampon. My brother was at work, so after I got myself sorted out, I wrapped up my used tampon in toilet paper and hid it amongst his blankets, as that's all I could think of, that he would find it as disgusting as I found the sensation of cold tobacco spit pouring down my spine. A few hours later, my brother returned home and waddled to his bedroom and closed the door.
The waddle.
Suddenly, I heard him shriek like a little girl, and he came storming into my room, hooting and hollering. Finally, I just calmly said, "I know, huh? It's pretty disgusting, isn't it? I told you you'd be sorry." He never left another spit can on the back of the toilet for the entire duration of our cohabitation.
Oh my God, this must be the most disgusting story we've ever had. I can feel the slime going down my back and I need it to stop. I need it to... please continue. Change the subject. I can't.
Top comment. He definitely got the message, period.
Ha ha ha.
If you think that is gross, I've got a personal, very disgusting story for you that might make you vomit.
No.
Okay. I'm going to set the frame here. Grade 11, grade 12, Marcus's house, one of my best friends, very close to the high school. We would go to Marcus's house to hang out on lunch and smoke bongs, smoke weed, get high, and we would skip some classes.
You told me the story already.
And
I don't want to hear it again. No, you can keep going.
And some of our friends had this nasty little habit of, like, when they would smoke a bong, you would get, and we smoked poppers, it was a little bit of tobacco, but you would get like this like super head rush high right away where you would almost kind of like start drooling. And so much saliva would build up in your mouth. So they would spit into a can of whatever they were drinking. Marcus always had the Nestea iced tea. So we were always drinking them. And on his table, we were teenage boys. There's a mess. There's like 5 or 6 cans of iced tea. One of them was a fucking spit can that I mistaked for my own Nestea when I went for a drink.
I'm literally going to gag.
I don't even think Marcus knows this story because I took it to my grave that when I drank. I'm fucking gagging right now.
Oh my God. I'm literally going to be sick.
I'm going to puke. I drank the wrong can.
Oh.
Instantly vomited in my mouth. Instantly vomited.
Babe, I'm literally going to be sick.
And I just got up instantly and went to the washroom. Never said anything. Instantly went up and went to the washroom and like puked into the toilet, rinsed my mouth out, and tried to suppress that memory.
Thank you for bringing it up.
It was the most disgusting thing that had ever happened to me in my life.
Oh my God. Babe, like I actually feel like I'm going to vomit right now.
I felt like I was gonna vomit.
My stomach too. Feels uneasy.
Ugh.
I hope everybody else is sharing that trauma with us right now.
I have another story that I can think of in high school,
please.
But I'm gonna leave that for a future
please
episode.
No, I'm good. I need my stomach to subside.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's disgusting.
All right. That is all the stories that we have for today. I hope you enjoyed that little personal story that I had for you. And yeah. Did we say we were going to talk about our personal life a little bit for the last 5 minutes?
We did.
We did something. What did we do yesterday? We did something freaking exciting yesterday. What did we do, Teresa?
So freaking exciting.
So exciting. What did we do?
We have been, I guess, what's it called? Like a dream building.
Dream building. Dream yes. building. Yesterday, we went looking at some RVs.
Yes, we did.
We are dreaming of touring North America full time in an RV, and we are crunching some numbers, looking at the RVs. Could we live in this full time? What's the shower look like? Are we going to have enough storage for Teresa's shoes? How realistic is this idea?
Yeah.
And we went two different places yesterday, mm-hmm. saw a couple different RVs. Teresa absolutely loved one of them.
Oh. I'll
throw some clips up here for you guys to get a look at that one. But
it was so perfect. Like the bedroom, I'll just talk about a little bit. The bedroom was like huge, like literally bigger than our bedroom.
There was a couch in the bedroom.
And it would have been a perfect spot for podcasting.
Podcast studio.
It was like, it was so cute. It had like a little window. So like if we're in Banff or something with the freaking mountains behind us, like I just woke up Luna. like how cool would it be like for podcasting? And like we have that view, like
we're podcasting on the go. Because of you guys supporting us with this podcast, we could hit the road. And every time we're starting a new podcast, we'd be like, we're checking in from Manitoba. We're checking in from East Texas. We're checking in from Los Angeles. I don't know. We'll be anywhere.
Everywhere.
Montana.
Everywhere.
Utah.
Yeah.
Ohio. Everything I can think of. We could be checking in from different locations and doing the podcast in the RV. Yes. And we were comparing two of them. One of them that we liked had a extra slide out in the bathroom, so it made the bathroom huge for an RV. And we liked that one, but when we arrived, it was sold. So then we were comparing to like really nice one, good on the budget, not the best finishings on the inside, but it was light. It was okay. No washer dryer. It was still perfect. No washer dryer option. Really nice.
Modern finishings. Mm-hmm. Like not like that old brown.
No, new grays and whites.
Yeah.
Looked really nice. It was nice. 2021. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, we also have this other one that I hadn't seen on the website. It's almost twice the price.
Yeah.
Twice the price. Still, it's still technically within the range. The other one would just be like super low payments, gets the job done, see if we like it. The other one was like, okay, solid payments, super nice one, double slide out in the bedroom. So like the slide out slid out once and then inside that it slid out again. I'd never seen this before. So the bed was in the slide out, so it kept pushing away. There was so much room in the bedroom, room for activities. And then another bench where Teresa was talking about for the podcast area, massive.
Yeah.
Bathroom.
The bathroom.
There's huge prep for washer and dryer. So we can add in a washer and dryer if we wanted to. Auto leveling jacks, which was a nice thing for me. So
kitchen was big.
Kitchen was huge. Comparing the two units, it was like kitchen was kind of the same.
Kitchen was the biggest in it for sure.
It was
sure.
about the same.
No.
It was just the finishings was nicer.
It was definitely bigger.
You know what? The oven was bigger.
Yes.
Yeah. The oven was like bigger. A full oven, not like a smaller oven. So it the was
whole,
like a full.
The whole living area, kitchen and living was bigger.
I feel like the couches were about the same and the kitchen table was about the same, but the kitchen was a little bit bigger.
The whole thing was bigger.
The whole thing was bigger. Yeah, the whole thing was bigger. I think the main biggest was the bedroom. The bedroom, that's where the length came from, was in that bedroom. Because the living room looked the same, but that bedroom was a lot longer. So, end of the story is, then we went, looked at another RV, which was a toy hauler one, where I could put the dirt bike in the back, and we could go to like dirt bike locations. Wasn't the perfect layout, so we're like, maybe we'll leave the dirt bike behind at home, see if we like this, upgrade in the future. Then we went truck driving. Took a big Chevy 2500 heavy duty for a test drive. Things like a tank felt so high up in that compared to our little 3 Series BMW that we drive around. So we've been searching. We are crunching the numbers now.
Yes.
We're like, does this make sense?
Yes.
If you guys want to see us in the RV life, if you're true, loyal supporters, which you have to be if you're listening to this part of the episode, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Smash the like button on YouTube. Drop a comment. Subscribe. Even join our membership program on YouTube. Helps out so much.
Or you don't have to. You can just share with your friends, with somebody else who you might think it. Yeah, that would really help us.
Every little bit helps.
Yes, we're doing this so we can
travel the world,
live our dream of RV life, and
travel the world.
Yeah. So, and we'll definitely be making like when that happens,
we'll RV have content.
RV content.
Travel content on our second YouTube content. Channel.
So if you guys are fans of Denver and I personally. See more.
We've got a lot of travel vlogs on our second channel. We leave that link down. You just search Denver and Teresa and it will pop up. Yeah. Our latest one was the Vegas vlog. Actually, I finished the San Francisco vlog was the last one that I posted.
Yeah.
I'm trying to edit away. I get a little bit slacking sometimes. I was putting a lot of effort into my car YouTube. I'm pushing that aside and get more into this podcast and travel stuff. So
yeah.
If you guys want to help us grow, all you got to do is keep on listening. Appreciate it. Share us, like button, all that stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you guys so, so much. And yes, thanks for listening and coming along with our petty revenge stories today. Our sweet, sweet revenge.
Yes. So thank you guys so much. We'll see you for the next episode.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.